The purpose of that series is this, that the institutionalized church spends a lot of time defining who is in and who is out. But biblically, I find that a lot of the measurements used to define who's in and out don't actually hold up. And ultimately, what I'm trying to do is make an argument for a larger acceptance of theological diversity in the Christian church. The final message, this final message is based on the series, and it is, in my own way, a rationale and a defense for the entire series to begin with. So after about four articles of this series, Heresies from a Southern Minister, a common response actually started showing up. The response of which I speak is a call to the value of tradition. One response says something like this: "Are you serious? You're going to go against a few thousand years of tradition, really? Who do you think you are?" Frankly, that kind of response borders on worshiping tradition rather than just valuing it. Even when I disagree with people, I tend to prefer to understand their point of view, to recognize that the thought process and the life experience that brings them to their conclusion or belief. But I have to say, in this particular case where someone says that they're valuing tradition, I just can't quite get there in terms of believing it for any reason. I do understand that what they're doing is following tradition for tradition's sake, and they're doing it in part simply because, well, they were taught to, and they believe it. And I do understand that some people find comfort in, well, knowing, particularly when it comes to spiritual matters. I even get that the belief that our spiritual ancestors were guided by the Spirit of God in establishing these creeds and the canons of Scripture and general practices makes it particularly blasphemous in their eyes to even question it. Here's what I don't get. How does any of that tradition, any of that understanding, any of that way of establishing the creeds, how does any of that trump what those very same people would understand as their God-given ability to think, to be reasonable, to be rational, and to use logic? How do those things we believe because of tradition, how do they outweigh new information? Can you imagine in other fields of study, in modern times, that someone would say something like, "What do you mean the Higgs boson, sometimes called the God particle, is neither matter, a particle, or a force carrier?" Of course it is. We've always known that there's only two kinds of particles. How dare you question what we've already known? It actually sounds downright silly to think that in any other field of study that people would call to tradition up against new pieces of information. Of course, there's those few who actually do protest that way in fields, but that's typically somewhat non-influential vocal minority. And even then, the facts, the new discoveries ultimately presented let me back up. Even then, facts and new discoveries ultimately present convincing data for a change in perspective. Unfortunately for the church, while those who make a call to tradition as proof of correctness, those who make a call to tradition as a proof for correctness, are clearly vocal, and they frequently aren't the minority, and they have great influence. As I've mentioned, all too frequently we revere our tradition to the point of worshiping it, placing it front and center so that it obstructs the view of the new places that God might be calling us. The problem is that it's absolutely absurd to believe that new ideas derived from new information and new skill sets and new perspectives, it's absolutely absurd to believe that they're trumped by "it's always been that way," or by calling into question the respect the person who suggests the new idea has for the established previous idea. The reality is that adhering to the original idea in the face of new facts, is the most disrespectful thing you can do to those who established the original idea to begin with. Just think about it. To believe that they would still cling to their idea when presented with new information that was not available to them when first establishing the idea is an insult to their intellectual capacity and to their willingness to believe that God is capable of doing or at least revealing a new thing. And Scripture certainly paints a picture of God doing a new thing all the time. It's simply not reasonable to believe that in the face of new information, they would turn off the very intellectual abilities and understanding of God that made them respected experts in the first place. Not only that, but in establishing the tradition itself, they were actually doing a new thing with the aid of their God-given intellect. It's absurd, it's insulting to think that they would just turn it all off and stick dogmatically with the tradition they created in the face of new information. So we need to please stop questioning tradition as a... We need to please stop saying that questioning tradition is a heresy. It's actually one of the most respectful things, I would argue, that a person can do to question the tradition. Now, let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that we should ignore tradition, but I am very pointedly suggesting that we should always question tradition. Let me also be clear about this. If you believe most of the same things that you believed about God 10 years ago, you are probably trusting too much in the dogma and not enough in your own intellectual ability. Proverbs 38 tells us this, chapter 30, verse 8, tells us that wisdom is a thing in which God delights daily. The Hebrew word used here actually has roots that include such meanings as wisdom and skill and insight and discernment and intelligence. These are all things that require us to ask questions, to seek out new information and to adjust what we know based on what we now know. So, it turns out that wisdom, insight, discernment are good enough for God to delight in daily. And those are traditions that a heretic like me can truly value. This is your opportunity to respond to the message or to one of the concepts and to share with the rest of the congregation. As always, we just ask that you do keep your responses as concise as possible so that others will have time to participate. Are there those who have thoughts that they would like to share or comments? The new things? Well, it depends on how you mean come about. Whether or not the church has fully adopted them yet is a different question. But there's been lots of work done in the last 10 years is just a number I use, but it could be 20 or more in terms of the information. But some of the stuff that I've been talking about in the Heretic series about the virgin birth, about why the Nicene Creed says he descended into hell, those types of things, we didn't have the information needed to understand it in a broader way previously to some of the research that's been done, and then new information comes to light. To understand that even in the New Testament, when they say virgin birth, they were probably talking about a young woman, that's what the language is really doing. 100 years ago, they didn't know that. And so there's new information that's come about that says that maybe we should re-question that belief, but the church hasn't moved on it. We keep it still in our creeds. So it's that kind of thing. Does that help? Okay. Any others? If not, I will turn it back to Sue.
I'd like to call your attention to the...
Please be seated. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came into him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words.